We turn to Matthew 13, to one of the most famous of Jesus' parables. Matthew 13. The predominant word is hearing. It is addressed to those who are not already believers, speaking to them that when they hear the gospel, they should come with prepared hearts, or prepare their hearts. And that is the theme. Now, if you just cast your minds back to chapter 12, you will see what a busy day it had been. After all, chapter 13 begins with the words "the same day." But chapter 12 shows that it was a busy day and that it was a Sabbath day. It began by the disciples going through the corn and eating, and the Pharisees objecting. And then there was Jesus healing on the Sabbath day, the man who had a withered hand. And then there was brought to him one who had a devil. And the Pharisees, we're told, began to plan how they could arrest Jesus and kill him. And on the same day, Jesus said, "All sin and manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men." And he gave a lot of teaching. And certain of the scribes answered and said, "We would see a sign." Jesus said that he wouldn't give a sign. Then his mother and his brethren were standing outside, and he said to those who were in the church, behold, my brother, my brethren. So when you get to chapter 13, it's been a busy, busy, busy day. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now, there are two ways of looking at this. You can say that as it was the end of a busy day of Jesus' teaching, he's now concluding by saying to those who'd heard what he said, he's now concluding that they must be very careful that their hearts are prepared to receive the word that they've already received. However, if you don't read chapter 12 and read chapter 13, and when you read the Gospels, they're meant to be read in bite sizes. You can read the whole Gospel at once, but it's not like a letter. You may read the Gospels in bite sizes. You get a different idea when you come to chapter 13. You think, oh, it's the beginning of the day. And here is the Lord encouraging those who are going to hear him talk how to prepare their hearts to hear the gospel. Well, it would seem that this was the end of the day. And Jesus was summing it up. And he was summing it up by saying to those, there's a bit more to come, mind you, but to those who were hearing the parables, hearing the word of God, that they should listen very intently. So we're told that Jesus spoke a very simple parable. Now, I was always taught when I was a child that a parable was a simple story telling simple things. It's not how Jesus explains it here. A simple story. But it just exaggerates to people how that they hear with one ear and it goes out the other. How they hear and don't hear. How they see and don't see. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Notice it isn't faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So many people hear, but They don't believe. They don't see. They don't understand. And the scripture says, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. It's hearing that opens the eyes. It's the hearing of the gospel that opens the eyes. And without that hearing, there is no receiving. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing through the word of God. It's like, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God creates hearing, and that creates the faith. Jesus here is cautioning against hearing that doesn't listen, that doesn't take it in, or that has an alternative agenda. So this wonderful passage is spoken to great multitudes, the majority of whom, there weren't many disciples at the time, the majority of whom were not believers. And they are being instructed as to how to approach the preaching of the gospel, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, they're still relevant today. They still speak to the hearts of those who aren't yet believers, but who do hear. This whole passage is about those who hear the gospel and for the most part have not responded to it. Maybe you could say that three quarters have not responded to it. There was the one who sowed by the wayside. There was the one who sowed among the stones. Some who sowed among the thorns. So three lots out of four did not believe. But you could say three out of six. You could say that those who believed were three sorts, or brought forth fruit in three different ways. So, but even three out of six is only half. So here we have to be careful to listen, particularly those who've begun to hear the gospel, begun to hear the gospel preached, begun to be challenged by the words of the living Jesus, the living God. So Jesus spoke many things in parables, taking the simplest of pictures. Many of them must have done this in their time. Many of them must have done this as their career. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Some were fishermen and weren't sowers who went forth to sow. But they knew people who did, and on their way to fish, no doubt they saw them sowing the seed. But it was a clear, simple, easy picture for him to give. But something happened, and everybody there listening knew what happened. In those days, you know that the sower used to have a bag tied around him, and used to put his hands in the bag and scatter the seed like that. That's how they did it then. Maybe it was a windy day. They probably wouldn't go out if it was desperately windy. But even so, it would only need a little gust. And sometimes it was nice and still. So it was possible that some seed went where it wasn't really meant to go. And that's what's happening here. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. What happened? Well, of course, the birds came. As it is, we see the birds by ploughed fields nowadays. They're getting all the little insects that come to the top and the larva. But the birds soon appear. Doesn't take them very long. And these seeds had no chance to grow, no chance to germinate. The birds came and gobbled them up. And everybody knew what that meant. Some seed was wasted. Some seed would not bring forth any profit or any good. Well, they all knew that. And then Jesus gave a second picture. Not so much the wayside as a parcel of land or a bit of the land that had stones in it. Now you may be aware our garden has lots of stones from when the house was built. You can't grow any plants very well in some parts of the garden. There are lots of stones. So there were bits of stone in this stony field. And so some of the seed fell on stony places. If he'd appreciated that just below the surface there are a lot of stones, maybe he wouldn't have sown the seed there. And maybe seeing the stones, he thought, well, you know, I can't sort of dodge around among. I just throw the seeds anyway. I've got plenty of them here. But Jesus himself says that some of that seed fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. They did have some. Even the stones, maybe just had a little lower of earth, enough to germinate the seed. We'll come to the meaning of all these later. But there was some seed sown on stony places where there wasn't much earth. What happened? Well, they germinated quicker than if they'd been planted deep. They germinated more or less immediately. And of course, that land was a hot land. It was a hot country. And so the plants sprung up like mad. And then, under the withering heat of the sun, they died the next day, or whenever. They didn't have much earth. And in consequence, they grew quickly, but with no depth. And they failed. And then there was a third lot of seeds. Some seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. The meaning of thorns here, well, they're quite literal thorns, but they're weeds. And probably the definition of weeds is not, I mean, weeds can be very, very pretty. And they're only weeds to some, and they're nice flowers to others. But as the word weeds is used here in the scriptures, it means something that outgrows, is quicker growing than the things you want to grow. So some fell among thorns, but the thorns were quicker growing. I mean, we know very well that the daisies and buttercups are quicker growing than the grass. And eventually may spread over the grass. Not always. But that's the picture. Some of the seed fell among thorns. Maybe the thorns weren't particularly visible at the time. Maybe they were only seeds from previous season. But the others were going to race them and beat them to growth. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. That's the picture. And then there's another picture. And this other fell into good ground, hopefully the majority. And hopefully it was a field that had been tilled, field that had been ploughed before and then harrowed and tilled. But Jesus doesn't mention these things. He simply says that some others fell into good ground, and as a result of which they grew up. And when they grew up, if it was wheat, there would be more seeds on the top than you planted. And if it was oats, which is rather different shaped, it would be more abundant sideways. But the seed would bring forth more seeds. Enough seeds, as the Bible says, in one place, both to plant next year and to use for making bread. Plenty of seeds. So some fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, all bringing forth fruit. We talk about there being a bad year in farming. The wheat grows, but there's not enough rain, or after the rain, there's not enough sun, and the stalks are very slender, and they don't have much on them. So when you sow them, you don't get very much a ton compared with what you would get in a better year. So even though among the good, some bear fruit 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And here now, when Jesus got that far, he almost stops and looks at them and puts out his hand and says, now, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Perhaps he could see that some weren't concentrating. But more likely he was referring to that principle which he afterwards expounds, that you can hear and not take it in, that you can see and not really observe. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, we're all born with ears, so there is no excuse for not hearing. But Jesus is very generous here. He doesn't mean that somebody may be deaf. He says that those who have ears that hear, let him hear. The disciples then came to Jesus because they didn't understand. But there were some things that they did understand. They believed in Jesus. They were the followers of Jesus. Doubtless he taught them about pardon of sin, how he was going to die, and these things. They did believe, but there was lots they didn't understand. And they came to the Lord Jesus, and they said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Now, the parable is a simple explanation, a simple illustration. But the disciples were saying, well, now, when you're teaching, it's all very extraneous to give illustrations. Why don't you just speak the facts? And it's a very interesting point about education. Do facts need illustration? And the answer is yes, of course they do. When Isaiah 28 speaks of precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, it's saying the same thing in different words, that you need a different explanation to meet a different situation, and you need that to be built on the strong foundation that you believe in God. So, like that, it's all done very gradually, and it's all done bit by bit. So they said to him, why do you speak unto them in parables? What Jesus says is very interesting. And we, those who hear the gospel, must beware. He speaks of election. And it is a mystery. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, if you're not elect, you delight in the way you grew up and you brought up, and with the gifts you've got, you just carry on, you're not saved. And you're quite happy with it on the whole, not always, of course, but you're quite happy with that situation. You grew up in it, you knew it, you haven't experienced the change, so you're quite happy. So Jesus is saying a similar thing here. To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. He's going to give them the chance to hear, but they won't hear. The chance to see, but they won't see. The chance to understand, but they won't understand. But no one can say they haven't heard. Whosoever hath, and before Jesus gets on to that, he just makes his observation, to him it shall be given. Well, we always say, don't we, that the rich in a society that is not absolutely just, the rich get richer, and the poor get poorer. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. And you remember Jesus spoke a parable about the talents, and the man whose talent didn't grow was given to the one who'd got the most. Jesus is illustrating the same principle. And he says, that's why I speak to them in parables. Therefore I speak to them in parables. Because they, seeing, see not. Now this is what Jesus is going to amplify later. But they see, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't hear. Neither do they understand. Now, I've understood this from schoolboy days. I'm quite an expert into it. You know, hearing, they hear not. Harley, the teacher, would say, what did I just say? Oh, I'm declusive. That's hearing, but not taking it in. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And by nature, we're all a bit like that. And when it's spiritual things, it's difficult to take in until the Lord awakens you. So the Lord is saying to people, prepare your hearts. And he does awaken. There is a sown on good ground. Seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Vivi's always saying to me that she'd be no good in giving evidence, because when she gets home, she would never clue what people were wearing. She couldn't give a description. Other people are good at it, you see. I must confess, I don't really notice what people are wearing either. We're opposite in quite another way. When I had a bigger congregation, I would notice those who were there, and she would notice those who weren't there. So between the two of us, it worked very well. But here Jesus is speaking about something a little different, but the possibility of hearing but not hearing, of seeing but not seeing, of not understanding what you hear or what you read. And then he says, this is what fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah. By hearing, ye shall hear and not understand. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You will hear, but you won't receive the faith. By hearing, ye shall hear. This is God's method with those who don't yet believe the gospel. And seeing, and you shall not understand. Seeing, ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross. He mentions this theme too in a few minutes, and he's already just touched on it. There were so many other things in people's lives. Gross weight, even for income tax, is the total of everything. And so when people's hearts are wax gross, they think about so many, many things. Think about clothes. They think about food. They don't eat to live, they live to eat. And they think about earning their money, they think about the future, they think about leisure, all sorts of things. But their hearts wax gross. I think it's probably true to say, I'm not an expert in this, but there's never a time, except when we're asleep, that our brains aren't actually thinking. There's a mass of things that we think about, and our hearts wax gross if those things drive out the essential things of the gospel. Well, he says the people's heart is wax gross. That is the state of the majority of people in which they remain. It's the state of everybody until they do believe the gospel. This people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they've closed, deliberate, lest at any time they should see with their ears, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them. So they're non-elect, they can't do it, it isn't possible. But they still do what they want to do, and are legitimately under condemnation. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Indeed, so blessed that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see and hear the things which you hear and haven't heard them. So now Jesus comes to the explanation. And it is about hearing the gospel. Four times, verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Verse 20, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Verse 22, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And verse 23, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. So, this passage is all about hearing. It's all about how an unbeliever should respond to the gospel. It's all about preparing your heart so that you receive it. This is a gospel message in that sense. It's about the hearer, the new hearer, the one who's hearing new things, the one who's hearing old things repeated. But it's about those who are hearing and not yet committed to the Lord. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Number one, this hearer, this person who hears the preaching or reads the scriptures and hears or at least is aware of what's there, he doesn't understand it, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. I think I've told you before that when I was learning Latin, I missed one particular lesson and I never got hold of the thing that was taught that day. Never got it straight. And it's also true that if a teacher teaches, it goes right over your head unless you understand from the beginning the basis of what the teacher's talking about. And if you haven't got the basis, the rest doesn't mean anything. So where to fix it to? So Jesus says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. So the first person who hears the gospel, they want to go and try and understand it. Ask somebody, pray about it, read a bit of different things, depending on their education, depending on their opportunity. But they do need to understand. Otherwise, it'll all go over their head. Otherwise, it will be true. They did hear, but nothing stuck. When anyone heareth the word of the gospel and understandeth it not, then come the birds. But the birds stand for the wicked one. Now, the wicked one doesn't want anybody to believe the gospel. And if the seed has been sown and they've heard the seed, they've heard the gospel, but they don't understand it, Satan's only too pleased to take it away from memory. They can go home and they can get on with their lives as it always was, and they won't give any further thought to what they heard. If they don't go back to church another week, that may be it. So it is possible to hear the word, for it not to be understood, and for Satan to come and take away even that little bit you may not be interested in anymore. Anything like that may happen. And then there's others who hear the word. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word. So another person perhaps hearing the same word, hearing the same gospel certainly, even if preached on different times. He receiveth it. He receives it. He can see that it's wonderful. He's glad he heard it and he rejoices about it. That's as far as it goes. It doesn't sink deeply into him in such a way as to affect his behaviour, to affect his thinking, to affect his worldview. He that received the seed into stony places is the same as he that receiveth the word and straight away with joy receives it. You can see it's good, can see it's helpful, can see it's wonderful, can see people go to heaven by it, wants to go to heaven by it themselves, but don't want to change. So nothing further happens. So it's just there. The birds haven't come and taken it away. It has germinated, but it hasn't sunk deep. So when the real pressures of life, Jesus speaks here about tribulation or persecution, but you might talk of any, think of anything. It might be that a person thinks that as a Christian he now never ought to be poor again, never ought to be ill again, never ought to have difficulties again, or whatever, you see. But you hear the word of God, just simply let it lie there. They know it's good. But when the sun comes, when the difficult things come, then the seed is withered. The plant which has grown up too quick and hasn't taken any depth to it just ends. And tribulation or persecution because of the word, that will offend altogether. By and by, he will be offended. So even to receive the word and love it, because you can see it's good, but not really take it in, that will flee away in a bad day, in a difficult day. And then, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. We're still on about hearing the word. He receives seed among the thorns. The care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the world, and he becometh unfruitful. So the seed grows up a little bit, but not half as fast as all the other things. And the net result is that the other things will keep the sun off it and choke the world. It can't grow, it doesn't grow, it finishes. And here is the things of the world, the care of this world, all the cares, all the things that need to be done, all the things in which you're interested, and the deceitfulness of riches, wanting to be rich, and woe to the rich because they can't be satisfied in riches, and they get lazy, and all sorts. So you can receive seed among the thorns, and you hear the word, but the care of this world. You don't really want to leave it. You want to be like Lot's wife. And the deceitfulness of riches, like the rich young ruler, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And then the Lord Jesus in the next lot refers to the good ground, the pathway, the wayside, is not good ground. The stony ground is not good ground. The ground where there are thorn seeds is not good ground. But the heart well prepared for wheat or whatever, or the heart prepared for good things, brings forth fruit. In life and in the faith, different people bring forth different things. And when corn grows, depending on where it was in the sunlight, depending on where it was with regard to the rain in the centre of the field, it may bring forth some more, some less. The amounts here are staggering. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So one seed might bear 100. One seed might bear 60, one seed might bear 30, all of which is very abundant. Now you must beware, I think it's quite natural to think that Jesus is talking about percent. He's not. He's not saying that those who bear fruit bring forth fruit some 100%, some 60%, and some 30%. Let me explain. Supposing that you have been given talents to use in life worth £100. If it was percentage, you would bring forth fruit another £10. Okay? If it was 100-fold, it would be 10,000. A lot of difference between 100 plus 100, 200, and 10,000 plus your original 100. This is massive. The one who hears the word and understands it brings forth fruit 100 times over, 60 times over, 30 times over. It may refer to how long they live to give a chance, but it doesn't matter what it refers to. It's abundant. And we've found it so, we've believed in the gospel. We brought forth fruit, some of it we don't know about. But it's valuable fruit, saved souls. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. We brought it forth 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, but all will be blessed of the Lord. But it went into the good ground. What does that mean? Well, when they heard it, they believed it, they responded to it, and they let it go deep into their hearts. They understood that this was a lifestyle that would change all their previous thinking, as indeed, of course, it does. The spiritual overrides the natural. And so they are then able to bring forth this massive fruit, peace in their heart, love in their soul, usefulness to people, Christians, as you know, founded schools, universities, all sorts of things. But they bear fruit, spiritual fruit mainly. And spiritual fruit bears other fruit. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. If we hear the word, we prepare our hearts. We should prepare our hearts to come and hear the word. If we come without preparing our hearts, then there may be other things there that will choke the word. But this particularly refers to those who are hearing the gospel in early stages. Prepare your heart. Pay attention to it. Seek to understand it. Don't let the world choke out all the things you've heard. But let the spiritual life have its full effect in your life, that you may bring forth fruit. And having lived in this world, that you may be said, as it was said of David, he served his own generation. Amen. And we sing together.